Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
It is the Big 3. Clint Sterner, he is out today, but SportsRadio610.com's Brandon Scott is in. You can find all his work at SportsRadio610.com. But the big story today here in Houston, we got a chance to hear from the general manager, Nick Caserio. And, of course, you knew it was going to be kicked off with the thoughts about Deshaun Watson. And this is how he addressed the Deshaun Watson situation right off the bat.
Yeah, I would say I really don't have any comment. I know Cal and ownership put a letter out a few weeks ago just relative to the organizational stance relative to where we are. So I don't have anything to add other than it's a legal process. We're respectful of the legal process and where that is. So we're focused on today. We're focused on getting ready for the offseason program and getting ready for the draft. So that's where our focus is.
That's pretty much, Brandon, how it went about every time he was posed questions about Deshaun Watson, and it was a lot. Yeah. But it was a clear game plan by the Texans and Nick Caserio on how they wanted to address this situation.
You know, I just thought about when we just replayed that he kind of reiterated what the McNair said in that letter to season ticket holders without actually reiterating what they said, because they did use some strong language. Like, I don't think they took a side or anything like that, but they did use some strong language in saying that they were deeply troubled by the allegations, and Nick Caserio has said that too, but he didn't even go that far with it. Like, he was extra careful to toe the line, and I just thought about that when we played that. Like, he just reiterates a statement that was really only circulated to the season ticket holders, even though it got leaked out to the media, but like, he didn't actually really address that, but at the same time knew it had been addressed. I thought that was kind of a masterful way of dancing around the question.
Oh, he did some dancing. Yeah, he was out there now. He was crumping his way through everything he did. Fred Astaire all the way through. But I think if you're a Texans fan and you're rooting for the Texans to look good today, then I think that goal was accomplished. To me, the number one goal for Nick Caserio, as him and Jack sit down and Cal sit down and everybody sit down. Janice, I don't want to leave you out of this. Whoever else is in this circle of trust, when they sat down, the number one thing they had to say to themselves is, all right, we cannot add to the story. We cannot come out of today and show and Brandon are talking about this big-ass headline that, oh, Nick Caserio said this about Deshaun Watson. The Texans are in this way with Deshaun Watson. The number one thing they had to do was to keep the Deshaun Watson story exactly where the Deshaun Watson story was when he started the press conference, and he was going to be peppered with Deshaun Watson questions, and he was in so many different ways and fashions throughout the 30 minutes that he met with the media. But he didn't waver. He stayed with the game plan, and that was accomplished. There is no extra story coming from Nick Caserio about Deshaun Watson.
Wait, and let me reiterate, that's on two levels. You got the media aspect of it, but also the legal aspect of it, and not just the courtroom, but the fact that you got lawyers involved in these cases that are media savvy, that will use these words against you. You will be the subject of the next Tony Busby Facebook post or press conference. And the same goes for Rusty Harden because he operates the same way. Not as much with social media, but media savvy. You didn't want to be a part of the media narrative with Deshaun Watson, and you certainly didn't want the next time these lawyers to be talking about this case that they have to bring you up. And so I think they achieved that by playing it down the middle and not giving you anything inflammatory
smart
to cling to.
Smart. Good day and execution by the Texans. From the text line, he tapped dance like Gregory Hines. Go ahead, text line, 713-572-4610. Please send in ways and people that Nick Caserio danced like today. We've got Fred Astaire.
They're not going to top Gregory Hines.
Gregory Hines. I think Gregory Hines can be topped. I think. Don't look at me like that. I think he can be.
All right. Well, let's see. Bring him in. 713-572-4610.
I think another interesting part about this, Brandon, when he spoke about Deshaun Watson, he was hit with the question about if he would be able to participate in off-season programs, especially the voluntary program.
Hi, Nick. You guys start your off-season program next week, correct?
The start of the off-season program is scheduled for Monday. That's correct.
Do you expect Deshaun to participate in that?
Well, this year's no different. It's a voluntary program, right? So players have the option to participate in the program. So it's a case-by-case basis, and each player will make the choice that they feel is best. What we're going to do is we're going to do what we've done actually the past couple months. Like, the building's been open. We've had a multitude of players that have been in here. They come in the building, they test, they go in the weight room, they work out, they go through their process. So again, whatever players are here that choose to participate, like, that's their choice, and we're going to create as good of a working environment for the players as possible. So when they come here, they feel comfortable and they feel like they're improving as a Houston Texan football player. So that's what our focus is going to be on.
Well, he did not say no. Yeah. He did not close the door. It's welcome to everybody is what he said. Stop grinning like that.
Hey, no, you know what I'm thinking about? Just the idea or the sight. Like, let's get Mark Berman on the case. If somehow Deshaun Watson on Monday pulls up the Rolls Royce to NRG Stadium for voluntary workouts. Like, can you imagine?
He would be in the
I mean, it's not going to happen.
He'd be in his Toyota Tacoma.
Yeah, no, he can't show up in the Rolls Royce. You're right. But just the sight of it, like the thought of it. And I love that Adam Spillane asked that question, because the clip we played earlier, you heard him say, hey, we're looking forward to talking to him this spring. It's spring. Voluntary workouts start Monday. And he's not saying the same things that he was saying in the fall or in the winter, I should say.
He's not going to be there. But if he were there, he would have showed up in a Toyota Tacoma, of which he got at Keating Toyota in Manville.
I'm sure that's
what he would have shown up in. But he didn't close the door, so hey, he said, Deshaun, come on down if you want to throw the ball.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, he also spoke about what else was important, not just the Deshaun Watson stuff, but the draft, which is 13 days away. He gave a bit of a strategy in terms of moving up and down. This was Nick Caserio talking about his plans for the draft.
I think when you just look at the draft in general, right, there's a multitude of strategies that you can employ. A lot of that is based on resource allocation, and a lot of it is really player driven, right? So when you talk about moving up for a player or moving up in the draft, who are you moving up for, right? And what's the cost associated with doing that, right? So in order to move X number of spots, okay, it's going to cost you this, right? So part of our draft, I would say preparation, is look at different scenarios, right? How far could we actually move relative to the resources that we currently have in place? I think the most important thing is always being prepared to pick whenever you're scheduled to pick. And if there's an opportunity to move up or down, we'll be flexible, we'll be open-minded, and we'll just try to make best use of the resources that we have. I would say there's no set formula of going up or going down, and it's very player specific and very player driven. So if you feel like you might be at risk of potentially losing a player, and there's a player that you really like, okay, maybe it's worth moving 5 or 6 spots. And then what's the cost associated with doing that? So again, we're gonna have to look at our picks, what we have, what gives us the opportunity to move up. If we want to move down, we think we can move back and acquire the same player. There's some risk involved in that. So you try to weigh everything and just try to make a good decision whenever you have to pick.
If it's anything like the amount of movement that was made in New England while he was there, you would expect that he's going to be dancing in the draft, as well as we're going through Paul Abdul, Mr. Bojangles, Floyd Mayweather, all kinds of different ways that Nick Caserio is dancing today. It's been said. I'm telling you, man, I will be the happiest man in Houston if he gets back in this first round. Yeah. I mean, that the interest that would be there, and I know Houston Texans fans would, if he found a way to get himself back into this first, hell, you know what, I won't be greedy, found a way to get himself into the second round, that would just be so much more interesting to see what they would do.
Yeah, that it's one of the reasons, really, if I could inject truth serum in it, and I had to ask this question just to get it on the record. I didn't think he would actually answer it. But if I could inject truth serum, I would really love to know if he thought that he would have Deshaun Watson as more of a trade piece, as more of a trade asset. If, say, a month ago or 6 weeks ago, if he thought that by now, or at least by the draft, that he would be picking up higher, that he would have premium picks with the Deshaun Watson situation before these cases emerge. Like, I would love to know. I would love to know how things have changed just in his mind and how those things have changed his strategy. Like truly.
It has to have changed everything. This has to set them back a year.
Yeah.
At least. Right? Where, like, if you thought you were going to at the very – because I think – I agree with John McClain, who's going to be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. He said they knew after Deshaun sat down with David Culley that they were going to have to trade him. And at that point, the game plan, all right, we're going to start the rebuild, and, man, we're going to get three, four first-round picks and another player that could be building blocks, and these are going to be the start of our building blocks over the next 2 years.
Yeah,
well, that's gone.
Well, now.
Right now.
What it depends on now is Deshaun, and on multiple levels. Like, how does this case play out? And
or
then
if they're going to be more or
– right. Yeah. You know, if they're going to be more, how does everything play out? Does this thing resolve itself? And if so, when? And then on the back end of that, does he want to play for you? Like, you don't have to trade him, but does he want to play for you?
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, Brandon Scott's in for Clint Sterner, who's out today. And Brandon, the Astros, they got a day off, which they needed yesterday. But tonight they head in and they go to play the first place Seattle Mariners on the road. They're looking to end their 5-game losing streak. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't know if them damn lineups are out yet. Dusty, Los better not be batting sixth. With everybody out, Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, Los better not be batting no damn sixth tonight. Ridiculous.
That's why I feel sexy.
This is ridiculous. They need to go ahead and pull this together. They can't extend this thing to 6 games.
I feel like Los knows, though. Like, I wonder, what is that communication like? Does Carlos feel more comfortable batting six? Oh. Because he's Los. So if Carlos Correa goes to Dusty Baker, and I'm pretty sure he's got the respect of Dusty Baker, if he goes to him and says, hey, move me up in the order, Skip, he's going
to
do it.
I feel Los feels so disrespected that he don't even have to do that. He shouldn't even have to go up there and tell him. I feel like, Dusty, you should be able to do it. Go get your new porch, your clothes, and do it.
It could be the other way, though. Maybe that's where Los wants to be.
Saying, that's what they were saying about Altuve. Maybe he's not comfortable leading off. No, he got up in that leadoff spot and was doing dirt. Y'all wanted to put Miles Straw in there. In the world are we in?
Nah, that not. You never heard me say that.
The world, maybe I didn't mean we.
I was going to say.
I've heard that. There's a lot of people wanting to put Miles Straw in that leadoff spot.
I wanted Bregman there. So,
well, I'm glad he didn't get there either.
Yeah, so.
Clint Sterner in the show here with you. Brandon Scott of SportsRadio610.com is in for Clint today. And, yes, Brandon Scott got a question where Nick Caserio gave an answer that might let us know what he may be thinking in the third round of the draft. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Nick Corsi, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Brandon Scott is in for Clint Sterner. You can catch his work at SportsRadio610.com. And as always, he's getting in the questions with anybody who speaks to the media. And there was something a little interesting today. A little something interesting from the general manager of the Texans, Nick Caserio. Here's Brandon Scott's question. And by the way, text line, I want you to go ahead and grade it as well. All right, give me an A, B, C, D, E, or F.
You're not going to hurt my feelings.
On his question.
What is an E?
Did I say E? Did I say E?
I'll take an E for excellent. It's kind of lame.
That's
but.
Ron being stupid today. So give me an A, B, C, D, or an F on the grade of his question. Just ignore the E. I drank Mad Dog. Just ignore the E. But this is his question, and it's interesting because Nick didn't maybe been – and get us to stumble onto something.
When you're evaluating a quarterback that might be available in the mid rounds, are you evaluating that quarterback differently than, say, you would a quarterback that would be available top at the top of the draft? And are you guys looking in that direction at all this year?
Are you talking about anybody specific, Brian? No, I'm just playing. So I would say any position, Brandon, you have certain criteria that you're going to evaluate that player, right? So regardless of their level of performance or their level of play or who they are, you're evaluating them on the same criteria, right? Then you're assigning a numerical grade based on that particular skill set or attribute. So then when you compile all that together, the end result might be, okay, this player grades out at this level. This player grades out at a different level. You don't necessarily, you're not evaluating them on different metrics. You just maybe have a different endpoint of what you think of the player. So what goes into playing one position doesn't necessarily change regardless of where they're picked, right? You're still looking at those same attributes. And then maybe one player at one level, maybe he doesn't have quite all the qualities that you like, but he's got these things that he does pretty well and you feel comfortable. And okay, so we're going to assign a numerical grade because we think it's commensurate with the role that we're projecting. It doesn't necessarily change how you evaluate it. But again, each player has their own skill set and some are more equipped or better in some areas than others. And that's what you have to weigh out. So hopefully that answers your question.
All right, the text line grading, we get a B, and of course, an asshat on here gives Brandon an E for his question.
Oh no! Shout out to the A plus though. From what is that 303? I appreciate that.
See, I think where you failed is you should have had a name. You should have had a name to return when he came and hit you with, you got a name, Brandon? I'm just playing.
I wasn't ready for that.
You wasn't ready for
that. I didn't know he was going to give me that level of personality.
Now. Nick was giving it to you. You should have had a name. But when he said that, I wonder, does he have one? There is a thought like right. With that. And it's a wonder because this team needs a ton. And you know they're not going anywhere. And the odds of you turning a third-round pick, which is their highest pick currently, the odds of you turning a third-round pick into a starting quarterback is, or a long-term quarterback is low. But
sure,
you wonder have they thought is, and see the name you should have brought back is Kellen Mond. That's the name, right?
No,
right, T. Sleazy, your guy, your Aggie,
please A&M don't.
Took you.
Please
to,
don't.
To,
don't
put on. I mean, put
the,
on.
Since you've been alive,
go ahead and put
best
on. Tyler.
Year you the best. Aggie football year you've ever been to.
He had a great senior year. Yes. Thank you, Kellen Mond, for your service. Now go away.
No, I'm telling you.
I'm going to tell you this, though. Kellen Mond is probably one of the better names to come up, but that is not who I was thinking about.
Oh, who were you thinking about?
I would have probably been thinking about Kyle Trask, his bowl game notwithstanding, which was a disaster. But Kellen Mond never really did it for me. I'm with Tyler.
I told you, though. I told you, Show. I think the Texans are going to take him with that 67th pick. It's not going to surprise me.
It's not. I'm glad you've built yourself up. Because, you know, I mean, we know his experience. Like, we understand they have the greatest draft pick in the history of sports mm-hmm. with Tom Brady in the sixth. Not comparing him to Tom Brady. I'll say that Kellen Mond does possess the poor man's values of where it looks like the NFL is turning into.
Yeah.
Being mobile, being able to move around, being able to run different type of offense and not just having to sit in the pocket moving things around. And he does have a strong arm. I don't know if he knows where it's going all the time. I don't know how accurate he is. Tyler does. But he does fit some of the poor man traits.
Yeah, this is not a perfect comp necessarily as a player, like scouting necessarily, what I'd like for him to be, what it would be good for him to be if he were drafted by the Texans, or what Texans fans could hope for, is that, hey, can he be Dak? You know, wasn't Dak picked in the fourth round?
No, yes. He holds that.
Could he be Dak?
That's a really good comp.
Could he be Dak?
Dak does not have an explosive arm.
Right.
But and I bet he probably moves a little better than Dak.
Yeah.
And Dak, especially at Mississippi State, his accuracy would come and go.
Right.
Very much like Kellen Mond. That's it. That's a real good one.
That's what when we talk about Kellen Mond, that's what I think about. Because I remember not being that impressed with Dak, but liking him. Like I liked him, but I was like, well, I don't see a star in
Dak
NFL
had all the intangibles. Right. Help me, Sleazy Punk. Help me. I'm sorry, Megan.
That was strong. Good Lord. Very strong.
You have hate in your heart.
It's the mad dog, man.
Goodness.
It's the great, the red grape.
What did I do to
you?
Simmer down.
What about the intangibles for Kellen Mond? Because that's what you could at least see with Dak is, man, he's got all the extra stuff.
Well, that's what I worry about, man, because I can't tell you how many times I've seen the look on Kellen Mond's face during an Aggie game where the moment it just looks way too big for him.
He ain't got
it. He just doesn't got it. His eyes look terrified, and I've seen him over and over again in big moments come up short. And again, he had a solid senior year.
Great.
And I would love to be wrong. I would love for him to come to the NFL and do Dak things and be that caliber of player. But I just don't see it. I don't think he's a franchise type of quarterback.
Just so sad that you couldn't even enjoy his senior year. It took you to that.
Well, he should. Everyone knows A&M should have had that fourth college football playoff spot. He was robbed of that.
You still on
so,
that? I'm not. You know, I'm not still even going to do it.
Everyone knows it. I won't hear any argument otherwise. I guess four-game schedules are tough. I know.
When you come that strong, that means you don't believe it. Everyone knows it. I will not hear it.
Everybody knows it.
I mean, he sounds with pure confidence.
Gig him.
Let me give you another one. Could he be Kirk Cousins?
No. No, they're different. Dak's good. Kirk, yeah, he can't throw it like Kirk can.
No, I just meant like level of not a perfect player-to-player comp, but I mean like that level of guy that maybe you might want a franchise tag in however many years.
Maybe.
Before you can get the
franchise tag. Maybe. That'd be – I would expect it. All right? You don't expect Dak. Like, you don't expect Kirk Cousins, right?
Correct.
You expect – who else has been a third-round drafted that's just going to the toilet? You expect Chase Daniel. You expect third round. Third, fourth round.
Oh, you're saying to the toilet. I was going to say – okay.
Yeah. Not to the toilet, but just
not
solid.
Good.
Josh Dobbs. You expect that, – that's
yeah.
Man.
He's got but those are best-case scenarios, though, if you get a guy like that. It's like, hey, can this guy be – Kirk Cousins. Can this guy be Dak? Can he dig deep down and get that? Yeah.
But that's the other thing is it's your top pick. That's hard to say I'm going to put my top pick on that. All right, Clint Sterner in the show here with you. Clint's out. Brandon Scott is in. And fellas, this one, there was a lot from this press conference. If you missed it, we just replayed it at 2:35, and you can use that Odyssey Rewind. And it was on around 11 o'clock on In the Loop. You can go back and listen to that, but this was the most interesting thing that I wish I could have pressed my button to come back in with a follow-up immediately. Here is Nick Caserio and how he says the last three or four, or what he said earlier about the last three or four months. The question was hit to him about the last three or four months. How has it been? How would you describe what the last three or four months have been? This one deserved a follow-up. Here's Nick Caserio.
Look, you're going to face difficult situations and there's going to be circumstances that come up, and how you deal with those situations ultimately is the most important thing. And that's kind of how our approach has been philosophically. I know that's David's mindset. That's our coaching staff mindset. So the past, I would say, 3 to 4 months have been, quite frankly, like pretty refreshing and invigorating. Like, we've tried to do what we feel is best for our team, try to build a team, try to put together as competitive a team as possible, and try to get ready for the upcoming season. And that's all we really can control. Right?
I just don't know how Nick can say the last three or four months have been refreshing and invigorating.
I think he might.
I'm legit in search of the answer, like his explanation of why his words. And he said it. He went to the name of Stephen A. Smith's old show. Quite frankly, he said in front of it, hey, it's been invigorating. It's been refreshing the last three or four months. How?
Well, I can tell you. Nick Caserio doesn't work in radio. Nick Caserio doesn't work in sports media.
Oh, yeah, but he's felt this. This has not been refreshing.
I don't think it's been refreshing, but I do think that Nick Caserio has allowed himself to exist in an alternate universe where the 70-plus moves that he's made to him are reinvigorating,
and they are refreshing.
Feel
anything else? Was today refreshing, being pummeled with all those Watson questions? The only way that I could see it's refreshing is the whole Jack Easterby thing has slowed down. That's probably been refreshing.
I hope that it has not been refreshing and that it has been somewhat stressful, just so I know that he's human, that he's not just straight transactional guy, that he's got some emotion. And I think he does. And so since I think he does, I think somewhere deep down, there's been a little bit of stress here. Like, he had a quarterback that he thought maybe he'd have for the future or be able to trade. Now he doesn't know if he's going to be able to do either.
I'm telling you, listen up. Houston, we'll open up the phone lines here. This is going to be, you're going to have an opinion on this. I just think this is something we got to start being serious about when it comes with the Texans and Deshaun Watson. Some of you may like it, some of you may not, but it's what I believe to be the truth. We'll tell you what that is next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Cecil Shorts III, who I thought was going to be in with us today, I heard him say this yesterday, Brandon and Tyler, and then there's been this narrative here in the last couple of days just tried to pick up of, boy, Deshaun, I would rule it out with the Texans. Here was Cecil Shorts III. He was on In the Loop with Landry yesterday. And I heard this, and I thought, man, we just have to address this.
If he separates himself from his camp, a few people in his camp, and turns the page, and he talks to the correct people over at NRG, right, with this whole scenario, it's a 100% chance the Texans will have him back. No doubt about it. Because they never wanted him to go nowhere. They never wanted him to go nowhere. They always want him as a quarterback. And they know how valuable he is to the franchise, just thinking business-wise, right? So if he says, sorry, I apologize, I had the wrong people in my circle. It's a lot going on right now. I just want to focus in on ball. Just really take away from all this stuff that's off the field. And I know what you guys have done for me. I'm grateful for you guys. If he goes up there and says that, they're going to be like, okay, let's play ball. No doubt about it.
We got a no doubt about it, 100%, that he would come back. He being Deshaun Watson, that Deshaun Watson will come back. Listen, Houston, I'm just gonna give you what I believe my honest truth is. 713-572-4610. You can jump in, Tyler, get you set up if you agree, disagree, whatever. The Texans can't play Deshaun Watson again.
They can't?
They can't play Deshaun. I mean, they can. But from my vantage point, they can't play Deshaun Watson ever again. I mean, unless they're going to get new ownership, unless they're going to get new people who are running the front office, I'm sorry. I know it's been a lot since March 14th when all of this stuff kicked off with Deshaun Watson. But before that, it's been about over a year and a half or so that the Houston Texans have clearly started to show they are transitioning to a certain culture and a certain way of how they want their business and how they want their organization to be run. We all have talked about it. We've all understood it. There is no way to me that the centerpiece, the top person in their organization, which would be Deshaun Watson, the highest paid player they have, the most visible person that they have, there's no way after everything they have done, moving certain people out, changing the staff, players, to show what kind of organization and what kind of culture they want, just what we know of this with Deshaun. Now, we can act like we're fools here if we want to. Just that we know that Deshaun is using Instagram and Snapchat to set up, as I'm using in quotes, massages. And this action, like, after everything they've done,
yeah,
right? They've shown you, no, man, we even select this culture and this feel ahead of talented players. I will admit, I speculated. I will raise my hand, all right? I will be rabbit this thing from 8 Mile. I was wrong on how they were approaching DeAndre Hopkins. I said, maybe this thing could be, they feel like they could be a better football team with more different weapons. All right, now that we've had time and evidence to look at it, it seems to be a piece of it has to be that, hey, he just didn't fit, especially what we hear, he didn't fit a certain culture element that they're looking at. Well, they've shown they would pick that over player.
Yeah, because that was silly at the time. Even, I mean, I know you tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, but the idea that you're going to be
called me silly, it's okay.
Well, you're not the one who made the trade, so.
But I'm just saying they've shown that. Well, right now, man, if they can't do it with Hopkins, they can't. They're going to go back. on the guy that would be the centerpiece, the guy that's going to be the face of your franchise,
yeah,
would be have put himself in a position that 22 lawsuits for sexual assault, harassment would be out against him. I don't know from what the Texans have shown us how they would line him up and play him again in their uniform.
Yeah, so real quick, just so I don't confuse the audience, this is Brandon Scott, not Cecil Shorts, because I know we played Cecil Shorts' audio just a moment ago.
And it's hard to tell, man.
That's what show's reacting to.
It's really not.
That was Cecil. This is Brandon. So just to clarify and to not confuse the audience.
It's not hard, though.
Well, I mean, you talk to us every day, but we get this. Like, we've gotten it on the text line. Is that Cecil Shorts? No, that was Cecil Shorts we just played. This is Brandon Scott now. But I'm with you, and I would even go further back, show. You said the last year and a half, you probably mean the last 2 years, however long it's been since Jack Easterby's been here,
well,
exactly.
Well, since Jack has really gotten more elevated and more power.
Well, and to be clear, they brought him here to be powerful. Like, he came here on a role that was different from what it was going to be in New England all along. But I would go even further back than that and say, even when the late Bob McNair was alive, that this is what they were about. Like, they've always been a franchise that has sort of taken the moral high ground, right or wrong, whether you want to criticize it or think that's the right way to go or not. That's always kind of been their MO. So that part of it is not really surprising, but it's never been an issue with the quarterback. And the quarterback is where this thing gets complicated because, like, he's the top guy, like you mentioned, but he's also the most valuable player. So if he's available to you and you're no longer in that situation where you have to trade him or where he's demanding a trade, say he comes back and does what Cecil was describing, apologizes of all things, and shows some contrition and some willingness to be here, I definitely think they could play him. It all really comes down to, and we said this before the show, I was telling you, it comes down to, when can you put Deshaun Watson in a commercial again? When can you put him on the marketing tool, whether that's the season ticket or the press release or the press credential or on a marquee or on a billboard? When is it safe to put him in a commercial to market, use him as a marketing mechanism again? And when that takes place, they absolutely can play him again.
Listen, and Brandon Scott is in. That is not Cecil Shorts. That is Brandon Scott. He is in for Clint Sterner today. Clint's out. And what we're talking about here, 713-572-4610, I hear Tony is fired up. We'll get to her. You can call in and give your thoughts on this. Listen, As I've said, I don't think the Texans can play Deshaun anymore because of the change in where they have gone in terms of how they want to be as an organization. And, yes, you're right. When Bob McNair was here, that was a big key, and even when Jack first arrived, would you agree this thing has been taken up a notch?
Yeah.
This thing, I'm talking about the belief in culture. It's been like how we're going to hang on to it. It's been taken up a notch to me. Like over the last, especially the moves they've made since Bill O'Brien has been fired and since the end of the season, there have been many moves where it's like, oh, they're really going into this direction that people and the people they bring in are a huge, huge deal, almost as much as what they put on the field. Like, that is that level of importance. And to think that the number one dude would be potentially involved in this, and then they go back and say, all right, wait, we're gonna make the face of our franchise this type of – no, I think they have made a commitment to this. They've made a commitment to how they want to be as an organization. And the number one guy can't be, to me, in this. And that doesn't fit.
The way around that is to flip that whole idea on its head, though. Because what we're really getting at is sort of this ethos of religion and not just religion, but wanting somebody that reflects something positive in the community, basically. Like, we're talking about image, right?
Of what they feel.
Of what they feel. But what they've shown themselves to be about, especially empowering Jack Easterby, and we understand Cal McNair to be, you know, a man of faith as well. They could totally flip this concept on his head and make it a redemption story.
Could, but like, they haven't, though. I mean, they didn't do that with DeAndre Hopkins.
It's not time yet.
They didn't flip it.
They don't have anything to redeem yet. They don't know if Watson's guilty or innocent yet. Like, that hasn't been like, once this thing is resolved and if some way Watson's either exonerated or if he settles out of court and no more of the, like, kind of gritty details or allegations come out and it kind of just stays where it's at, and they get back to that place that I was talking about earlier where they can market him, they can make this a redemption story. Like, we've seen athletes do this before, and I think that they can make that a part of their narrative and identity. Hey, we don't just go for good guys, but we're also a place where you can achieve redemption. Like, this can be a redemptive place too, and they can make that convenient for themselves as well.
As we're discussing here, I just don't see how, with the commitment to this culture that the Texans have made, I don't see how their centerpiece player could be the guy, could be caught up in a situation that Deshaun is caught up in, and they're going to play him again. I just don't see that. And from the text line, talent always wins, especially when it's quarterback. Yes, but the Texans have shown to you, they've shown you, that that is not something that overrides it. They are showing you their commitment to this culture is bigger than anything else. I told you, I was wrong. They gave up DeAndre Hopkins on commitment and then turned around and got Brandon Cooks for the same thing they gave up Hopkins for, even though they're not anywhere near the same players of a person who fits the culture.
Yeah, but the person that did that isn't running the show anymore. Like, I know Jack is still here, but that was Bill O'Brien's trade, technically. Like,
it was his trade with Jack, with, I believe, Jack heavily influenced. And Jack is still here heavily influenced. But it was Jack's guy, Brandon Cooks.
Right, but the difference is that you have a – like, between Bill O'Brien and Jack, you don't have a competent personnel person between the two of them. At least now you do. So I think that at least is the difference. Like,
at least now you do, but then also, like, then you make the move for David Johnson, and you
– Yeah, okay, well
– You pay him because there sure. is still influence with the person who's the architect of this new culture wave.
Like, yeah. That's fair. I wasn't ready for you to throw David Johnson in my face.
I have nothing for that.
I got nothing for David Johnson.
It just shows
who I like personally.
All right. 713-572-4610. What's your thoughts? Do you believe that Deshaun Watson could still play for the Texans? The point I'm putting out is they have committed in a way that none of us have ever seen an organization in sports commit to culture. Like, we've never seen anybody commit to something like this. And they now the number one guy, the number one dude on commercials, as you said, on tickets, on the building, they're going to have involved in this. Tony, I'll let you jump in. I hear you fired up. Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, I am fired up because you're saying that, okay, they have committed to such and such and such and such. They committed. I heard Nick Caserio, what's his name? Nick Corsi. I heard him commit to, we're not trading the player. We're not trading the player. So this is what I want you to do, Mr. Nick Caserio. Since you say you're not trading him, I need you to stand behind your player that you wasn't trading. Because I guarantee you, we wouldn't be having this conversation if it was Tom Brady. But let me tell you, and please do not hang up on me. Please don't. Because I want to let you know that they need to see this thing out. They need to see this thing out. Because guess what? He was young, dumb, dot, dot, dot. And you know the rest of it. But guess what's going to happen? He's going to get through this. And you have nothing right now. You are swimming with minnows right now. Deshaun Watson is a damn shark. And you better recognize that you need to hang behind him. He can do it for you. He can bring us back. And what I need him to do, and I'm going to go on wood yesterday, the old school guy that called in yesterday, yes, Deshaun needs to humble himself. Yes, because if you was doing this, if you were being young, dumb, and trying to get all the women you get, you know what? You were wrong. But now you have a place where you need to humble yourself, and so do the Texans, because you wronged him. You wronged him by dismantling his whole organization, the whole roster.
All right, Tony, I got you. I appreciate the call, Tony. And listen, I hear what you're saying, but you got to understand what their culture is. What have they shown you?
Yeah.
What have they shown you? They've not shown you that, gonna grab it. This isn't the Chiefs. The Chiefs will stand by you. They stood right by Tyreek Hill's ass, Frank Clark's ass. They'll stand. That's not what the Texans have shown you.
Yeah, I'm just glad Tony cut it short the two times when she said young and dumb, and then she just went dot, dot, dot on both times. I appreciate that, Tony, for not going any further with that. But no, as far as culture, I think if you're a Texans fan, you have to at least hope that something has changed in that regard.
Oh, I could see the hope.
Like, you don't want it to be that, hey, well, he's got a little dirt on him, so, you know, we got to wipe our hands. Like, you hope that they are now, especially with Nick Caserio running the show personnel-wise anyway. And this is a little complicated because culture and PR and image and business factor into this a little bit more than just football. But you hope that they allow the football guy to keep the best football player and all that other stuff, especially if he's cleared, especially if he's marketable. Like, if he's got the amount of stink on him where you can't put him in a commercial, where you can't put him on a flyer, then obviously you got to do something different. But if somebody's willing to put him on a commercial and put him on a flyer, if Nike comes back, if Beats by Dre comes back, or any
that's
of these,
with most teams.
Like,
that's with most teams. I'm just saying that the
Texans need to be like most teams in that regard.
Oh, I would agree.
And hiring a traditional personnel person would make you think that hopefully they are that.
But the personnel people they've hired are all within the family of the architect of the culture.
So I would ask the personnel person in that case, and I guess it goes back to our earlier segment, like, what's your solution at quarterback?
I'm just saying, we saw the coach they hired. They weren't going to hire Eric Bieniemy, who, I don't care what you say, is clearly a better coach than David Culley.
Thank you very much.
One of the things that we were hearing about was, I don't know about fit, his history, his past. Hey. Like, they clearly have shown you that will supersede the best candidate.
If two things happen, Deshaun Watson's cleared the way I mentioned a minute ago, and somehow Deshaun Watson has changed his mind, changed his tune, and wants to play for this team, and you're hung up on some kind of – and if you're the Texans – personnel folks, and you're hung up on some idea of image. Hey, he's been cleared. Hey, he wants to come back, but I don't think he fits our culture anymore. Then I don't know what we're here for, quite honestly. Like, I think we can all take our ball and go home. Every last one of us.
It just sounds like what they've shown us. All right, Clint Sterner is out, but we will do Clint Sterner's Football at 4, and the Hall of Famer John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions, will join us, and we'll see what he thought about Caserio's approach with all the Watson questions. John McClain coming up next.
Go ahead, pick it back up. I'm cool.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.